Lead performers in Cabaret, the musical, sing Money Makes the World Go Round. Little do these performers know about the Middle East, where money not only makes the world go round, but props up dictators like Syria's Bashar al-Assad. Iran is presently spending billions to keep him in power and prosecute a war in which more than 230,000 people have been killed and poison gas has been employed. Moreover, should the treaty, now I'm reluctant to call it a treaty since this government will not do so, with Iran be consummated, this sponsor of global terrorism will receive at least $150 billion in sanctions relief. Not only will this money be used for Assad, but it will bankroll Hezbollah and Hamas with a new generation of rockets and weapons. But Tehran money buys weapons and weapons buy power and influence. President Obama is counting on an accommodative Iran that receives foreign assistance. But is there any reason to embrace this hypothesis? And even if someone does, at what point can the IAEA or any other relevant body determine the turnabout in Iran's nuclear program? How do we know when a genuine peace has arrived? Iranian leaders have made it clear that dreams of a Persian kingdom dance like sugar plums in their imagination. For that to happen, the money pump cannot run dry. There is a need to support their Houthi surrogates in Yemen, resupply Hamas rockets, which were destroyed in the last war with Israel, continue to add to the Hezbollah war machine, which is poised to attack Israel, and keep Assad afloat, and that is the mechanism by which control of Lebanon is retained. It is hardly surprising that Iranian leaders insist that sanctions are dropped as soon as the deal with P5+1 is signed, while U.S. negotiators contend sanctions will be reduced incrementally based on certain milestones being met. What is not said may be most significant. The bonus received from any deal should not be used for terrorist activity or the promotion of imperial goals. Since money is fungible, this provision is difficult to enforce. Nonetheless, it represents a statement of intention which the United States should not gloss over. One way to defeat militant Islam is to dry up its resource base. Oil pays the bills at the moment, but it may not in 10 years. Hence, trade and FDIs or foreign direct investments are what the Iranian leadership seeks. One scenario, however, is for Iran to unite with the Shia population in eastern Saudi Arabia, where the major oil fields are located. Saudi oil, along with Iraqi and local oil production, would give Iran clear dominance in oil production around the globe, about 70% of the global supply, thereby generating enough capital to sustain the Shia empire and offer enough of a hedge to secure Iranian leadership decades ahead. Iranian leaders not only think strategically, they think as carpet peddlers. There is always a profit to be made, an advantage to be generated. The West, most significantly the United States, thinks money will alter behavior, indeed put the Iranians in the position of thinking as we do. But there isn't any evidence to support this conclusion. It is a policy stance based on hope. Money can obviously be used for many purposes. We would be wise to withhold our generosity until there are signs of behavioral change. I doubt that we will see any, yet cynicism shouldn't dictate policy, nor, of course, should naivete. Since 1979, Iran has behaved as a rogue state, fomenting death and destruction and taking at least 1,500 American lives. It has a vast terror network in Argentina, Cuba, Venezuela, and even parts of Asia, all outside narrowly defined regional interests. Will Iran scale back these investments because of Western assistance, or will it promote its worldwide goals? Surely we should obtain answers before one dime changes hands.